Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network, sponsored by TBILaw.com.
For automatic reminders about this radio show and other great survivor events,
sign up now for TBISN.org.
When Attorney Gordon Johnson speaks about recovery, he isn't talking about the amount of money a survivor gets from a lawsuit or settlement. He is talking about getting better from the brain injury. Find him on the web at TBILaw.com or call 800-992-9447.
And now, it is time for another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
Hello, welcome to Brain Injury Radio Network. Tonight is our regular Wednesday installment of our program Recovery Now with your host, Kim Justice. If you'd like to know more about my story, you can find it at inaflash.org. I, too, am a fellow traumatic brain injury survivor. I appreciate you tuning in tonight, and as always, I look forward to your input. So now, we'll get on with the show. Good evening, everybody. As you heard, I'm your host, Kim Justice. Thanks so much for being here tonight. You know, we've got a really interesting show. I'm going to take care of a couple pieces of housekeeping really quick and then let you guys in on a few things. Some of you know a couple of things I'm going to say, but you didn't hear, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. So I want to thank the sponsor for Recovery Now, Lash Publishing. You can visit them at lapublishing.com. I got a fresh picture. As you watch the picture scroll, we have a picture of our guest. We have a picture of an angel that I took, and I'll explain that later, and a picture of Lash's Brain Injury Now current edition magazine, which was the August-September issue, where yours truly has an article. And so I want to thank Lash Publishing for all of their help in sponsoring the show. Also want to remind any newcomers that Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week with several different hosts. We have a new platform I'll talk about a little bit later. For any of you who have been here a while, I hope you enjoyed Dr. Bob's show, Shaken Not Stirred, just before mine. And with all the hosts we have, there's a little something for everybody. But all of the live shows are archived, usually within an hour, almost immediately, sometimes after they're aired live. So if you come into a show late or you're flipping through some old shows during the daytime, you never have to be alone in your recovery, because there's all kinds of shows of one survivor talking to another. And so I hope you'll take advantage of that. While I was talking about my sponsor, I did happen to meet, you guys have heard me say that I didn't think we had an association in my state, a brain injury association, but we actually have a new president named Peggy. And we have an association of two here in Nebraska, but I'm excited because I'm actually going to get to meet Marilyn Lash, my sponsor, and Marshall Waddell, who I had as a guest a few weeks ago, with co-author Dr. Kelly Orr, who's going to be starting a show of his own on caregiving this Monday. They're bringing a weekend retreat here, October 4th through the 6th, called Hope Beyond the Battle, a weekend to honor, encourage, and support all women connected to a service member. And they're joining forces with Brain Injury Association of Nebraska and the Nebraska Veterans Brain Injury Task Force. And this is going to be a great weekend, and it is one for women, but obviously we have issues of PTSD, TBI, compassion fatigue, and all of these issues in our women soldiers as well. But I was glad to see that the Brain Injury Association, under its new leadership, is visible in this state, because I went 17 years without knowing we had one. So it's going to be extra special, cool, this event, and that I'm going to get the opportunity to have lunch with Marilyn and Marshall. So I'm real excited about that coming up. I want to talk a little bit. First of all, some of you know that my guest tonight was going to be an old friend of mine that I play in the second half music part of our show, John Cruz of John Cruz Blues, who sings Palm of Your Hand. And some of you know that it took me, I hadn't seen him in about 15 years, but I had his old CD, and when I was looking for music for my show, he was like trying to find a needle in a haystack in the city. And when I finally found him, what was it, about 6 months ago now, 7 months ago, the month before I reached him, he was diagnosed with a tumor on his brain stem. And he was supposed to be my guest tonight, but a dear friend of his passed away, and he's singing tonight. He'll be rescheduled. He'll be back with me in a few weeks, but he's singing at a memorial service tonight, so he wasn't able to make it. Now, at the same time, some of you know that a side interest of mine is being in the Daughters of the American Revolution group, DAR. And I was making a brief announcement the other day about something totally unrelated, and a brand new member of ours said something out loud so the group of ladies could hear about a show that I did a couple weeks before the 4th of July. And I went up to Carol afterward, and I said, let me give you a couple of my cards. Carol's in the Navy, and I said, you know, there might be a chance when I go directly to the government, they don't always want to provide me with guests, the privacy and all of that. But, you know, maybe sometime you'll come across somebody that you think would be a good guest on my show and get a hold of me. It was last Tuesday, and on Monday I got a letter from a lady named Michelle. And Michelle was telling me about someone that she thought, there was a really cool story, and we'll talk about that later, but she was telling me about someone she thought I might be interested in having on my show. And that was how I wound up getting hooked up with my guest tonight. And we visited about some topics. In fact, I'm going to read you her bio and bring her on in just a moment, but our story was going to go a certain direction. She is a captain in the military, but then we stopped, and there was a detour, and I can only say a divine detour in our conversation, because it switched off of military and what we were talking about to family. And that's when my guest, Carrie, told me that her mom suffered from a brain tumor. And I just kind of looked up at the sky, as I do so often, because now it's happened enough that I know. You know, it used to be when people asked me what my book was about, you know, sometimes I'd say an aneurysm, a near-death experience, a memoir about a particularly difficult point in my life. And eventually, I just started saying that my book was about God and miracles, because, excuse me, I've had a little frog, because there are so many what some would call coincidences in my book, and I just don't believe that there are coincidences like that. I believe that coincidences are God's way of working anonymously. And I've been doing this show for a year, and I've never spoken with anyone about a brain tumor before. John was going to be my guest tonight. We were going to talk about that. And suddenly, Carrie and my story turned that direction, and it became a family member of hers with a brain tumor. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of my front end of the show, and then I'm going to bring my guest on. Carrie Brantley is a captain in the Missouri Army National Guard and native of Boise, Idaho. She recently moved to Maryland, where she is a writer and editor for Joint Hometown News Service at Fort George G. Meade. Carrie is still active in the Army National Guard. She joined to provide for her family and to serve her country. Carrie is a single mom and combat vet who is currently working on her master's in management and public relations. Carrie's mom was diagnosed with a rare type of brain tumor that was never supposed to reoccur after it was initially treated. Unfortunately, it has, in spite of some of the latest technology and treatments. Carrie's mom wasn't in good shape for an interview tonight, but I felt that this has been such an incredible journey that the story needed to be told. I had occasion to meet Carrie when I was speaking to her about a common passion of ours. It was then that I heard the story about her mom, and hopefully we can enlighten you on both topics. And then, as I usually say for anyone new here, this show is a gathering place for anyone seeking recovery from the challenges of life on life's terms. I introduce topics, and survivors share their experience, strength, and hope. We discuss useful tools that have helped us lighten the load of our journey through recovery. We focus on the four A's of recovery: awareness, acceptance, action, and adaptation. This is a place for survivors striving to become thrivers. Without any further ado, I'm going to bring on my guest, Captain Carrie Brantley. Are you with me, Carrie?
I am, Kim. Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for being on the show tonight. I know a lot of things are keeping you busy between school and some things we'll talk about later, and medical problems in the family and being a single mom. You've got a really full basket going right now, don't you? How was school tonight? I did talk to her earlier.
School is fantastic. It's a really interesting class. And as a leader, it's just going to help, you know, put some tools in the tool bag that can help our organization out later. So it's real exciting.
That's great. I'm glad to hear that for you. Now, when we were talking the other day, you were telling me about a little bit about your military experience, and some of the guests might want to ask you some questions about that, but I'd like to turn to, only because of what I said before you came on the air, that whatever the divine intervention was, and I believe it so, I've been on a year, and a brain tumor topic has not come up on my show or anyone else's that I'm aware of, which is not to say that it hasn't happened, but it certainly hasn't been frequent or ever as far as I know. And so a lot of us here have suffered traumatic brain injuries, like some of the people that you serve with, some coupled with PTSD, some not, or acquired brain injuries, like my fellow DJ, as a matter of fact, my fellow host named DJ, was telling me, acquired brain injury is what I have. And I think that what your mom is going through would be something that would be an acquired brain situation. But can you tell me again, because it was a word that I didn't pick up on, but maybe we'll start at the beginning with what happened. Tell me what happened the first time. What kind of symptoms were going on with your mom? Where were you? What brought her to the doctor and led to that initial diagnosis?
Well, in 2009, my mom started having seizures. She was just a normal. She had some migraine issues for probably most of my childhood. I can remember my mom having headaches, and they later evolved into migraines. But in 2009 specifically, she started having seizures, and nothing was really making sense as to why she was having these. it started to impair her ability to work, to drive. She's no longer able to drive at all. She's completely disabled at this point, no longer works. And then I actually commissioned in 2009. And the day of my commissioning, my mom had a seizure. She was there for, you know, a very memorable experience for me. And then at the ceremony to follow, my mom actually went into a seizure. And it wasn't your normal, typical, what you think of seizure where they thrash around. It was more of a lot of eye flutter, a lot of just, she kind of just zoned out. And then there was eye flutter and non-responsive. So it lasted probably a good 10, 15 minutes. Go ahead.
No, I was just, go on. We hear about different types of seizures, and I was just, I said, oh. Okay, continue.
Okay, sorry. And then later in June of 2010, she was actually diagnosed with a brain tumor called a schwannoma, and it's a acoustical neuroma tumor, and it normally sits on the nerve that controls your balance. It typically manifests on the facial nerve and is more often diagnosed in the male gender. So my mom already, it's already a little non-textbook. So the doctors in Boise decided she needed to go to Stanford to be evaluated there. So that was in June of 2010 is when she had her first surgery. They went in, they removed the tumor. It's a non-cancerous, slow-growing tumor, by the way. They went in and they removed the tumor with one in some crazy millionth number chance that it would ever come back. A short year later, in 2011, she had gamma knife radiation done. It's an intense amount of radiation, and she had over 250 marks to hit during her treatment.
My God.
And then, yeah. And so for me, being, again, completely new to this whole world, I thought I actually left. We were in the middle of our annual training, and I flew out on emergency leave out of annual training to be with my mom in San Francisco, Palo Alto area, to be with her when she went through the gamma knife treatment at Stanford University. And I just thought, you know, my not knowing really that she was going in, they were going to like mix it and then that was it. But what I didn't realize is that it's a 6 month to a year long recovery from that gamma knife. And so I was expecting kind of immediate results for my mom, that the tumor was going to be gone like that, you know? And
right.
At 6 months, she was still having the ear drainage and, you know, the pain and the dizzy and the falls and all these things. And I thought my mom was going to be better. And at this point, she still was not. And so the doctors wanted to give the radiation the full amount of time to do its thing. So they waited all the way for a year. You know, they spot checked her throughout the year, but they waited again to reevaluate what the next course of action was going to be. And in February of this year, she went back to Stanford, had another surgery. So the tumor, let me back up. The tumor didn't go away. It didn't shrink. It didn't go away. The gamma knife radiation did not work. So the first time didn't work. The second time didn't work. The third time she goes back to Stanford in February of this year. They went in and cut again and cut down, I think it was 4 layers of healthy tissue. So they cut in to try to fully get all footing out of her brain of where this tumor was sitting. And last Thursday, she called me and she had another MRI. And so 2 weeks had passed to see what was going on with the tumor now, to see where it was. And what she went back in to have an MRI is she kept having the same problems, you know, the ear drainage, the dizziness, the migraines, really, you know, just things that just plumb take it out of her. And that wasn't sitting very well with her. She knows her body at this point. You know, she's been dealing with this for so long that something wasn't right. So they went back in and did another MRI, and the tumor is back yet again. And the thing that's really, you know, she's kind of at the point, like, the battle is just, kind of taking a toll of her emotionally, mentally, obviously physically. And those things feed out into the family. And we all are going through this with her emotionally and mentally, but we're not dealing with the physical pain, which is intense for her. I mean, her pain management is out of this world. She has an amazing doctor team, and they're doing the best they can to take care of her. But my mom lives in pain every day. My mom is dizzy every day. My mom's lost her hearing. My mom, I said dizzy and balanced. So she's beautiful. She's a beautiful woman. She doesn't look sick, but because she has all these internal issues, people kind of look at her weird when she's walking down the road with the walker or she's going into the store with a walker. She walks around the house with her cane just because of mobility. It's a little easier. But she moves slower. It's tremendously affected the life of my mom, who's this incredibly charged, independent, smart, you know, fearless woman. And it has completely changed who she is and her capabilities that she can do. And so with the actual tumor itself, it typically, like I said, it sits on the nerve that controls your balance, and reoccurrence of this brain tumor is exceptionally rare. The tumor is slow-growing and non-cancerous. I kind of scooted over that earlier, but every time it does come back. It doesn't contain cancer, but it has, why she is such a unique situation besides the fact that it keeps coming back, is her tumor has actually attached itself to her mastoid bone, which that's a bone, not a nerve. And so it's extremely hard to understand why a nerve attacking tumor is attacking her bone. So she's dealing with all of that also. Like, you know, the questions always come out, like, why me? Why can't I get over this? And the hardest thing, I don't know if you have questions or if you want me to keep just talking.
Well, I'm going to back up and ask you some questions,
okay.
But I was going to let you just get to a break
okay.
point for you and then go back and color in some of the lines.
Okay. I think now it's probably pretty good because I'm going to go into more of how it affects us, not just what all her treatment and symptoms and all that have been. So I like to talk
okay.
long-winded, so I'll stop.
No. Well, my audience knows I do too, and that's why I want to go back, because you're exactly right. Where I want to steer to after I ask you a few questions is the effect on the family. You know, a lot of times we get survivors on here, and a lot of our audience are survivors, and we get caregivers here. And those are people specifically hands-on caregivers most of the time. But seldom have I heard other family members and how so many of these things become a family issue. It's not just one person. It's not, you know, just the survivor that's going through it. It's not just the person who is the lead caregiver. But it branches out not only to the rest of the family, but out to friends, people they've met in organizations, church. There's just layers and layers. We never know how many people we impact in our life. Maybe we do the ones directly that are around us every day, but we're out there. A lot of us are out there networking and mixing with the public on a daily basis, and we just don't know how another person might be being affected by what's going on with us. But that being said, and then we're going to move forward into the rest of your family, I want to go back with your mom for just a moment. At the very first occurrence, she had surgery to remove the tumor. Is that right?
That's correct.
And how long did it take the first time for her to recover from the brain surgery to remove the tumor?
The full recovery when she was reevaluated that time was, it's always been 6 months, and then at a year is really the moment that they decide what they're going to do next. They kind of watch and observe for a year. So it was a full year until the next time happened.
Okay, and during that time, was she going through various types of therapy, like occupational therapy and physical therapy, speech therapy, any of those types of, what types of treatments, if any, were going on in that first year to try to help her heal from the surgery? And again, I just want to make sure I'm clear on my facts. That first time, they believed that they had gotten the whole thing and that the chances of it coming back ever would be nearly slim to nothing, at least very, very rare. So at this point, the first round for your mom who went through the brain surgery, and for you guys, the rest of the family that had the shock that your mom had to go through this, at least you must have been having some sighs of relief, as hard as it is during recovery time. And believe me, a lot in the audience know about recovery time, but there must have been a sigh of relief there for a while, that as bad as it might be, good days, bad days during recovery in that first 6 to 12 months, that when it would be over, it would be over, would be the expectation. So what kind of things did she do during the first year after the first surgery, when we had every reason to think it was gone, to try to bring herself back? Was there a lot of medical intervention at that time, or just kind of a wait and see how you're feeling?
Yeah, it was more, I mean, we had heard some success stories, so we were all very hopeful that, okay, they removed it, it's good. Now it's just the waiting period to be reevaluated to ensure that, in fact, it is gone and it is not coming back. I mean, the thing about when the year was up that struck me as very odd was that it came back quick, and it also came back twice the size that it was when they had removed it. And that's why we chose the gamma knife procedure that following year.
The gamma knife, just one second here. Now, the gamma knife, for those who don't know out there, and I'm not a doctor, and Kelly's not a doctor. We don't have any doctors here, and we don't pretend to. We're simply sharing any experience, strength, and hope that we have on a topic. But that gamma knife, I don't know how long it's been around, but I know in a relative sense it's a newer type treatment. It's been around for a few years. But how does that... Do you know how that works? How do they describe to you the difference between surgery one and surgery two? The doctors must have been shocked that it, A, came back, and that it came back twice the size. So they were wanting to try a procedure that was different than the first one they had tried. So what did they tell you about this gamma knife, if you can remember?
What I can recall from gamma knife is that it's an isolated, intense amount of radiation that, I mean, they can pinpoint ridiculous amounts of technology to get exactly where the radiation needs to be to attack what it is treating. The side effects are nowhere near as harsh as actual chemo. I mean, there's always side effects, but she didn't have chemotherapy. It was just this one time, this one day. One morning she went in, it was a little bit of a process because they had to fit her with this mask. And, you know, humor is always a good thing to have. And my mom kind of, have you seen those flat Stanley dolls where people take pictures and of different places around the world? Well, my mom started taking pictures with her mask as, you know, just to find some humor and some enlightenment for herself to accept what was going on.
Sure.
So they fitted her with this mask, and the procedure didn't take very long at all. And my stepdad, my mom is married. He's kind of her rock, not kind of. He is her rock in all of this. And I'm super grateful that he is there in the house with my mother, as I live, you know, very far away from her. But, Gamma Knife is, I've tried, you know, researching everything I could on it, and there's really not that much information out there.
Right.
But, again, it is just really an intense amount of radiation that they can pinpoint. And we were hopeful that that was the answer, and that was going to be the success of it. And the coolest thing about the Gamma Knife is there's actually no surgery. There's no cutting of her, you know, no cutting involved, no surgical cuts. So it was just the mask and this machine doing the work.
So they call it a knife because, in a way, the radiation cuts through the skin like a knife would, but it doesn't leave an incision the way a knife would.
Correct.
I found it a little odd that they name it knife if it doesn't cut. So I was trying to think of the most logical explanation of why they would call it that. Yeah. Okay. The radiation then would just beam through and pinpoint without having to make a surgical incision.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they did that to this tumor that wasn't supposed to grow back, did, and grew back twice as large. And then what happened? So you said that was a relatively short procedure, and afterward, how long was she in the hospital then?
It was an outpatient procedure, so she went back. She stayed in the California area. Can't remember exactly the length of time she had to stay there, but it was a little bit of time. But they went back to the hotel room later that day.
Isn't that amazing? That blows me away that they can do something like that quick, although I will say that I'm hearing more and more that some serious, you know, some where they're actually doing incisions and so forth, they're booting people out. You know, you don't get much for brain surgery these days. Like I used to think, you know, you should have. They're basically having people do more and more rehab at home and, you know, where you're not supervised quite as well. And that's kind of scary, especially if you have problems with balance, like you were saying, and some of the issues that brain trauma survivors have. It's kind of a scary thing when they boot you out of the hospital that quick and you're back at home. It's comforting always. Of course, you'd rather be at home than in the hospital, but at least even in my case 17 years ago, you know, they turned me out about a month before I was ready to go, and the choice would have been a nursing home, or in my case, I stayed with my family for 3 weeks and then went home and just roughed it, crawling around a lot, trying to get things done. But she actually had something this intense on an outpatient basis, and they let her go that day. How is she feeling? Did they sedate you for that?
No, she was awake for that. She was awake for that one. They're not fully sedated. I don't think, and this is just going off of memory. I've had many conversations with my mom, but I don't think she's ever been fully under. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I would have to ask mom. I would have to get back with you, Kim, on that. But for the radiation, I'm pretty sure she was awake. Because you have to hold still and you have to cooperate. You can't move or deviate from the point where they pinpoint this is where the radiation is going through. So you have to hold still, and you have to be somewhat interactive with the doctors.
Right.
And unfortunately, you know, my mom was in California. She lives in Idaho. So she didn't get to go home to the comforts of her house. She had to go home, go to a hotel room, you know, where, and it's not like over at Carlton, you know, finding a aspects come into play and all that good stuff. So she didn't get to have that full home recovery either. So she was very anxious to get home each time. And then, of course, she's flying. So it's just been a crazy experience that she has really gone through.
So she, I was just thinking about that and how hard that must be. You said that her husband is a rock and a great support, but that must be very difficult for, you know, both of them, anybody to be away from home, you know, so far away from home when they're getting treatment, because you don't really have the support of friends or other family, maybe some more extended family, people around you. You're kind of, you know, whichever of you are there away from home, that's got to be tough, because your built-in support or supportive people in your life aren't right there with you. So you're not only in a strange environment going through a strange circumstance, but don't have the comfort of home and familiar people. Were you present? You were. You mentioned that you came home for one of the procedures.
Right. I was there for the gamma knife. I kind of did a handoff with my stepdad. I flew, my children and I actually, we all flew out there to kind of raise Nana's spirits and be the support and get her back and forth between the hotel and the doctor's office, so she didn't have to take public transportation and things of that nature because she can't drive. So we went out to kind of take care of her initially, and then Jeff, my stepfather, was coming out to take her through the procedure and then through the recovery process and go home with her. So a very interesting experience, you know. But I left the morning, we flew out the morning she went under, or went to the treatment. I can't say under because she didn't go under. And Jeff took care of her from that point.
Okay.
And then,
how many kids do you have, Carrie? I'm sorry.
I have three.
Three kids. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go on.
So between that treatment and the next treatment, a deployment came up for me. And the, you know, one of the greatest things I will have to say about my deployment and what it did for my mother was that it gave her something else to focus on. It gave her, she kind of, you know, she had a purpose to, you know, as a mom to support her daughter instead of this daughter supporting the mother. And she was so amazing. I mean, she hand wrote a whole devotional book that every morning I left them in my desk drawer at work, and when I got into the office, I would open up the card and I would read a new devotional for the day. And, you know, she sent care packages and she was really attentive, and it just gave her a reason to kind of continue on, you know, that there was something that could distract her away from her illness and the tumor and the pain and all this stuff. So, I mean, it's not a fun experience going through a deployment as a single mom and whatnot, but it definitely served its purpose as helping my mom kind of through the struggle of her everyday life. It just gave her a purpose, which was amazing.
Right. Well, and her role had always been to be your mom, and I suppose, you know, one of the things that happens in these brain injuries is a lot of times roles get scrambled. You know, your mom had always been mom, the mom of the family and the nana of the family, and now she was the victim, or, you know, the survivor. And I'm sure that that was a very uncomfortable place for her to be and be able to wrap her mind around, but also for your family members and yourself. Now, is that when you were in Kuwait then that she was doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay, so you're in... Go on.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, so you're in Kuwait and you're getting these amazing care packages from your mom, and in spite of the peaks and valleys she was having on her own, it had to make her feel good to be back in some semblance of her role as mom,
mm-hmm.
Supporting her daughter by doing the things that she did. And how sweet to, you know, there's one big lesson in there for the audience, and that's that, you know, when we're in the middle of something, it's real easy to focus on us. And one of the things that, and I don't know if I read that line in the intro, but one of the things that's in the intro to my show every week is that it's in the we that we find the new me. And it's pretty cool that your mom was that comfortable in that aspect of the role she was playing at that time, to be able to do as much mm-hmm. as she was doing for you while you were in Kuwait. And when you joined the military in the first place, you were a single mom, mm-hmm. and this is something, why did you choose to go into the military?
I've always wanted to join after I became a grown-up and really realized that I do have a heart of service, and I genuinely care about people, and I just felt that the military was kind of an avenue where not only could I have some personal growth, which it's been a tremendous journey for me in my military career, but a way for me to give back also. And then primarily, I was married when I joined, but primarily it was to help take care of my family. And we were in a military town, and I actually got hired as a civilian into a human resource role. And it's kind of complicated, the system, but in order to keep the job, I had to join the National Guard. It's called a dual status technician, for anybody that's curious. That's the program. And it kind of took off from there. I finished my degree. I learned a lot. I gained a lot of knowledge, and I had a couple of really good mentors that were, hey, you're a go-getter. You're a natural leader. Let's get you into officer candidate school. And away that went, and my career has just really unfolded. I've been a part of training. I've been a part of human resources. I've been an integral part of the finance system within the Missouri Army National Guard. And then I deployed with the 35th Combat Aviation Brigade as their public affairs officer to Kuwait for Operation Enduring Freedom. And, you know, it's just been, it's kind of just manifested into being probably, besides being a mom, it's been one of the greatest titles that I've ever held. And looking back, I wouldn't change a thing about it. It's just been really a rewarding experience.
Wow, that's really quite a resume that you've got there. And I just wanted to deviate for a second. We're gonna come back to that. But now, okay. Mom has had the gamma knife radiation. This time she gets to go home for a while, right? Because mm-hmm. we're going to hope that tumor is gone now. Again, she goes through that 6 to 12 of recovery. And then it's time to go back for her annual MRI to make sure that tumor that was never going to come back, that had been back twice, was in fact completely mm-hmm. gone. And is this the time you're saying is last Thursday she just found out it's still there?
No, she went back a year later. It was still there. And then in February of this past year, of 2013, is when she went back again. So she had the first surgery in 2010. She had the gamma knife in 2011. And in February of this year, she had it removed again. And this past Thursday, with a new MRI, it's back again. So in February of 2013, I was still deployed. And when my mom came home to back to Boise, I just felt so helpless. I was so far away. I couldn't fly there to be with her. It was just a moment I just felt completely helpless. And so I reached out to a group of ladies that I went to high school with, and were like, hey, can you guys provide food for my mom and my stepdad while she's going through recovery as one less thing that they have to really worry about? And, you know, my mom needs to eat. Jeff is working, and he needs to eat. And so just the outpour of these, I call them gals, that I went to high school with, I mean, they showed up for 4 nights in a row with just a plethora of food to provide for my mom and my stepdad. And it was just like an extension of me that I couldn't be there, but my friends filled in for me. And forever, I'm forever grateful that they did that. And my mom was just obviously overcome with emotions and brought to tears. And it was just so sweet and so nice of them to do that. So I really want to, you know, just make sure everybody knows, like, it's super important to have that support system. And,
yes,
you know, to be able to reach out. And sometimes you don't want to ask for help. I know my mom does not like asking for help. Sometimes you just have to go around that, and you know that person needs help, so you help them. And that's kind of where, like you were saying earlier, the roles have kind of switched. You know what's in the best interest of her, and you just want the best interest for her and the best things for her, so she can focus on recovery. And so that was really great. But, and she's, so then, okay, so I'm sorry, I'm kind of going off on a side tangent there.
It's okay.
So between February and now, she's been back to her ear, nose, and throat doctor numerous times with ear drainage. And I believe it's called granulated tissue, kind of like granulated sugar. Where
right.
It's fresh tissue growing in, and, you know, they're like, well, that's good. That's a good sign. These are good signs that, you know, that you have this tender baby tissue regrowing in your ear. Because the tumor is on the right side of her head. So it was the right ear that was causing these problems. And so finally, eventually, you know, they're like, okay, let's do another MRI. And this is at the point we are right now. We're not quite sure what the next step is because we've just found out again what's going on, that it's back, that, you know, when she told me she was doing the MRI, I'm already preparing myself that it's back, it's there, because that's the answer we've been getting. So I'm preparing for the worst, hoping for the best, but preparing for the worst. And, you know, when she called me, the first thing she told me after the results was, I just wasn't expecting this. And, you know, that's a crisis moment when it's a life-changing event in your life. And we were looking at it in totally different perspectives. And we kind of touched on this when we talked privately. It's the way I've been trained and then the way that, you know, she's, as a citizen, as a civilian, how she's been trained to expect and hope and wish that everything's great. And here we are, you know, preparing for the fall. So we are able to be proactive instead of reactive and kind of give her the strength and the support she needs as she's starting on this journey again. So as of right now, I don't know what's next. She's in the talks with the doctors again at Stanford, with her doctor team in Boise, and they're trying to figure out where they want to go as far as treatment. And then my mom will have to make the decision what she wants to do
right.
in response to their recommendations.
Right. So I'm sure, as you said, that she wasn't expecting it. This must be a very upsetting time for everybody, wondering when this is going to end. You know, there are people in our audience who have had recurrences, you know, more than one traumatic brain injury, more than one brain procedure, and of course none of them were expected, but nobody was really told that chances were slim and nil that this would ever come up again. And to have it come up over this period of time and for three times is just really incredible. Or the doctors, obviously, they tried one option the first time, a second option the next time. Are they, I guess you haven't really even gotten to that point, but there's going to be some other things they feel comfortable trying?
Yeah, I really can't speak to that. I know I talked to her earlier. I actually just called her after we spoke again this afternoon, and it was real rush as I was on my way to class, but I kind of gave her a little bit of the backstory, how this is a divine kind of occurrence that you and I are even talking today, and it just, that's what we were kind of focused on, was the spiritual aspect of what is going on
right.
for our family right now. So we didn't get into real medical stuff. She was giving me words of encouragement for my interview, and all I could think is like that's why she's my mom. Like that's you know, it's just remarkable. She just wasn't even thinking about herself. Just, hey, go out there and do a good job, you know. So I intend on following up with her, obviously, to see what they're saying. But at this point, I don't know what path that they're talking about going on.
One of the reasons that I really wanted to have you on, and then we're going to go to part two, the thing that we got together and visited about a little bit in the beginning, and then we took a detour, and I knew that this was the course that we were going to go down. I don't want my regular listeners to think I'm any crazier than they might think that I am sometimes, but you know, and it isn't that I hear voices like in the sense you'd think cuckoo's nest hear voices, but sometimes I have intuitive thoughts about things that I know are right. And when you and I started talking, and we were talking military, and we had a few things we were talking about off this topic, I knew when you started talking to me about your mom, when the military conversation swayed off and we got more personal, and the fact that, and I just told you this earlier, the fact that my guest tonight was someone with a brain tumor, and it really amazes me, and I do look at those as divine intervention. And like I said in the beginning of the show, how I describe, you know, my own experience as a series of God, however you choose to define that, and miracles being the thing that saved me. And one of the things I've talked about before, and others on our show have talked about before, is the collective power of prayer. And I know when I was in surgery for, I don't know, 8-10 hours, I was blessed to be hooked up with an unrelated support type group, and the room was full, the waiting room was full, and like you say, for my parents, that had to be very comforting. It was here where I live, so there was family here, but also a room full of friends of mine. Last rites were given, and I'm not Catholic, but by a friend who's a Catholic priest and a generic minister, and everybody was praying their hearts out, putting me on prayer wheels, prayer chains. And when I talked to you, and I thought about the fact that we go all over the United States to 36 different countries, and that we have tens of thousands of listeners on our shows over a period of time, I thought, this is right. This is the primary thing I'm supposed to be talking to Carrie about tonight, because there's a lot of people out there who've been in a situation close to your mom's or in a situation close to yours where it's been someone close in the family. And a lot of us have relied on prayer because they are situations that we're so powerless over. And I don't want to use this word to a soldier, but a lot of us, even little civilians like me, thought I was bulletproof. And then the day came that I realized I wasn't. And all the things I thought I had control over in life, it was really just the illusion of control. I really didn't have that power, and things were going to happen in my life I wasn't going to have control over. I was going to be powerless over, and those things would bring me to my knees emotionally, whether I'm praying for a friend while they're having surgery, doing a little pay it forward of what was done for me, or during the time when I was alone in my recovery and didn't have family around because I wanted to put on the strong face for my family. But when I was alone, it was hard. You know, sometimes I felt so bad or so dizzy, I would crawl to my bathroom. I'd get violently ill. You know, I was going through a lot of things, and I didn't see where it would help my family to tell them all those things, and so I didn't. And at that time, we didn't have a support group around or anybody that I could really talk to about what was going on with me. So it was a very isolating experience. And I was told about all the praying that was done for me in surgery. And I prayed before, but, you know, and you might have gleaned some of this from your mom's procedures, you know, right after brain surgery or brain procedures, when you have challenges, you know, you don't always know if you're on foot or horseback, you know. And one day it occurred to me that I can't help me anymore. I need help. And you mentioned it was hard to ask for help. I needed help from people, rides here and there. But what I needed help from, and I had been getting all the help all the time, or the traditional neurosurgeon wouldn't have been able to save my life. I wouldn't be talking to you right now because I couldn't talk or comprehend when I went into my coma, that I had been getting help all along from a power greater than me, but I needed to acknowledge that and pray directly for that help that I needed. And so I'm hoping the listeners tonight, after hearing Carrie and her mom and her family's story, and that this news is so recent, and the way that this interview magically came about, I'm hoping that the audience will, and I'm sorry, what is your mom's first name?
Carrie, with a T. I'm Carrie.
Okay.
Terry.
Carrie and Terry, that ought to even be easy for my audience and me to remember, so... I'm really hoping that you guys will send up a prayer for Terry and Carrie tonight and their families, that this third time around she'll have the most favorable recovery that she's had the last three times, that the tumor will be gone for good, and that Carrie will stay safe, as will Terry, and that the family have strength and courage to see this journey that has seemingly been an endless journey for the last number of years play itself out with a favorable outcome. And I truly believe that prayer is one of the tools we use in recovery that take us to that place. So I hope, as you're listening live tonight and listening in the archives, that you will take your own moment of silence and send up a prayer for this family and realize what a miracle the connection was that we were put together in the last few days in light of who my guest was going to be and how this all came about. I believe truly that this is what Carrie primarily was doing here tonight. And one thing I want to do, Carrie, is also the thing that we started talking about in the beginning. We're gonna drop back to that in a minute, and I'm gonna have another guest come on who Carrie knows. But one of the things I'd like to do in between, and I think some of my regulars will understand why I'm doing this, but Carrie, you're welcome to stay on when Denise comes and listen, or I know you're very busy. If you need to go, you can do that too. But one of the things I want to make sure that you stay for, and we're going to have a 4 minute, 45 second break, and then I'm going to bring on our next guest and tell about, you know, there's always two sides of every coin. We've talked about this scary grave side for Carrie, but she also has another side that's going on in her life, and we're going to talk to our guest about that. But Carrie, this is a dedication from me to you, and I usually, this is the regular outro for my show, but I wanted you to be here for it tonight, and so this is a song that gave me a lot of comfort. And that picture, if you do get on and you see the scrolling pictures, I took a picture of that angel. Photography is one of my hobbies, and this is a song I'm dedicating to you, and I think you'll see why. It's called Guardian Angel by Leah West. Thank you. again, that was Guardian Angel by Leah West, L-E-A-H-W-E-S-T. Check her out at leahwest.com or on facebook.com/Leah West. And that was a dedication tonight for my lovely guest, Captain Carrie Brantley. Carrie, before I bring Denise on, I'm recognizing something here, and I hope Denise will bear with us for just one moment, but area code 402, did you have a question or a comment for Carrie?
I do. I just wanted to say that this is Michelle.
I knew it was. Hi, Michelle. I'm so glad you came tonight.
I'm so glad to, I'm just so glad that Carrie is on. She's my hero, and I just wanted everybody to know that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for calling in, and Michelle, thank you so much for connecting Carrie and I. I can see why you love her, and we've had a great couple days of talks, and I'm just getting ready. I'm gonna park you guys for just a moment, and you can keep listening. I know we have a third guest on here who is on a time schedule, but one of the things Carrie's going to be doing in her life right now that's exciting, and of course she didn't know when this all got started that she was going to be having the family medical emergency, but right now I'm going to bring on Denise Gordon. Denise, are you with me? This is Kim.
Hi, Kim. I'm here.
Hi, Denise. I want to thank you so much for coming tonight. I'm going to tell the folks a little about you, then I'm going to ask you a couple questions, but where this ties into Carrie is that Carrie's going to be competing. A lot of my a lot of my regular listeners out there know that a couple weeks before the 4th of July, I did a well-received program called Final Salute, and Jasmine Booth was my guest, the president and CEO of Final Salute, Inc. I was blown away the first time I was exposed to the page and found out that on any given day there are 55,000 homeless female veterans coming home from Afghanistan and Iraq, and we heard her story and audience go back about 2 weeks before the 4th of July on a Wednesday, and you'll see Final Salute. You can listen to that interview. But they have a big event every year, and you right now, I want to congratulate you, are carrying the title of Miss Veteran America of 2012.
Yes, ma'am. I'm actually the first. So last year was the first year we ever held a competition.
Okay. Now, you're active military, and what branch, what does the competition, first of all, tell me a little bit about this competition, and then specifically what it meant to you going into it.
Okay, sure. The Miss Veteran America competition, and don't, I did not call it a pageant. The only similarities we have to a traditional pageant is a crown and a sash, but it's to showcase the woman beyond the uniform. And it was essentially created by Jazz Booth. I mean, she has a whole bunch of creative ideas mulling around in her head, and you know, which can be dangerous, but we're just ever so grateful. You know, when she founded Final Salute, and I must correct you a little bit, we don't have 55,000 female veterans coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan who are homeless. That number definitely trans, what's the word I'm looking for? It's female veterans, period. So whether they are from the Vietnam era, you know, we still have a few gems in the World War II female veterans that are still here, and we're blessed that they're still here. So it crosses different eras that women warriors have served this country. And unfortunately, that number is growing, and 55,000 may be an accurate number, or, you know, it can be less or more, we're not sure, only because, you know, your traditional idea of someone who's homeless, whether that be underneath a bridge or with a shopping cart or what have you, doesn't necessarily reflect today's homeless female veteran. You know, she may look like you or I, holding it together. Most women who join the service, you know, are pretty type A. Well, I'll speak for myself. I'm pretty type A. And so when it comes to doing for myself, I want to make sure I do for myself. But in any event, you've sat and spoke with Jazz Booth, so you know her incredible testimony. And that prompted her to say, you know what, who else can talk about female veterans than a woman who has served in the military? And why should we not have a representative? And that's where Miss Veteran America came from. It is rich in substance. It's open to all women who have served honorably in the military, whether you're still in, whether you've served in the past, whether you're Guard, Reserve, active duty. My second runner-up is a World War II Coast Guard SPAR, so there's so much rich history there. Yeah.
Yes.
So I tell you, the first year, I was so blessed and honored to be part of that, stepping outside my comfort zone to compete in something that is still not me, you know. But so incredibly blessed to have won this the title. We've all gone down in history as being the first women to compete to support our sisters that don't necessarily need a handout, but more of a hand up. So
that's
in a nutshell. Yeah.
What now? What branch of the military are you active? Your Air Force.
I'm Air Force. I did 12 years active duty, and I'm a combat veteran, and I left active duty in 2006, but I'm in the reserves. So I've been in, just went over 20 years, a long time, so I'm an old sergeant. I see some of the young troops coming in, and they're just, you know, so young, so full of promise, and, you know, those are our future leaders. So, Air Force.
Well, and my husband is a 20-year retired Air Force, so we have a lot of that in our family. And then I tell people my dad, who's 73 now, once a Marine, always a Marine. So I grew up in that atmosphere. And then I am a member of DAR, Daughters of the American Revolution, and interestingly, you know, I wasn't a joining type of gal, but that dang Ancestry.com got a hold of me, and I started doing some genealogy work and found out that I had these patriots that had served as far back as in the Revolutionary War, and then some in the Civil War, but that's another organization. And when I read their home pages about what they do, they support military regardless of party. You know, historical preservation, about military monuments, everything that they do, I was down with. And so I joined the group, and of course we have a lot of opportunities, and that's been one of my interests here on Brain Injury Radio. There's, you know, actually veterans and NFL who are the groups right now shining a bright light on something that's been going on for a very long time and been the white elephant in the room or swept under the rug. Your groups are bringing it out into the open, and helping, and hopefully I won't misquote this one, but there's about 3 million brain injuries that happen a year, and more science to back up things like post-concussive syndrome, and it's already been written in a lot of books, but in addition, you weren't here earlier, the sponsor of my show is called Lash, like eyelash, Lash Publishing, and it's lapublishing.com. They have a whole section of books for veterans that deal with PTSD, TBI, and according to the statistics these days, TBI is going to be the signature injury that our soldiers are coming home with now. And so just because of my own background and being a brain injury survivor myself, I have a good mix of both civilian survivor stories and medical professionals and caregivers, but also a lot of folks in the military as well. And when I came across Final Salute, which was actually from an old college friend of mine that I hadn't seen for I don't want to tell you how many years, but that was one good thing about Facebook, is that I ran into some people there that I hadn't seen for a good number of years. And Lisa Wolford, I'm not sure if you know her, she's active in the group in Final Salute, but we went to college together. And when she found out what I was doing, is the one that turned me on to jazz and got her on. But I digress. When you became the first MVA, what did you do? What kind of things, what's your last year been like? And what have you been doing? Because I'm sure the people that are coming up behind you, and tell me again when this next competition is. And again, Carrie is going to be one of many people competing for Denise's crown. And they're all going to be looking to you because you were the first one. Everybody's going to put their own twist, I'm sure, but they're going to be looking at what you've been doing. And what have you been doing?
Wow, that's a tough question. I tell you, I hit the ground running from, I think, the first week that I had the title. I had my calendar set, and it's been busy ever since. Matter of fact, today I had two events in D.C., so I was just getting back from the Capitol at an event, trying to wash my face off with the makeup and then dial in to your show. So three events in one day, not bad.
Wow.
But very, very busy. But I tell you what, it's in the military, in most branches of service, we have short tours. And that's where you go overseas. Like for me, it was going to Korea, and you go there for 12 months. And those 12 months, it's in high ops tempo. And you're working 12-hour days, and you're so busy because all you're thinking about is the mission, whether you're forward deployed or what have you. So that's how I took this opportunity. I said, it's 12 months. I'm hitting the ground running. I'm engaging communities where individuals may not necessarily know the right talking points about women warriors, about female veterans, about even the terminology. You know, we're not all soldiers. You know, I'm not a soldier. I'm an airman. You know,
mm-hmm.
The Marine, you wouldn't call a Marine a soldier. That's a big no-no, you know.
Uh-oh, thank you, because I got one on next week. I'm listening to you intently here, Denise.
Yeah. Please do not call everyone that served in the military a soldier.
Okay.
Marines are Marines. Army, they're soldiers. Air Force, we're airmen. Navy, they're sailors. And our Coast Guard folks are, we call them Coasties. But
okay.
Even something as simple but so very necessary as that is our identity as military members. And then being a woman in the military, as you can imagine, it is a male-dominated institution. So we want to make sure that our pride in service is not minimized. But, you know, I've been out and about. Last week I was in Colorado doing an event, had an opportunity to speak to over 300 women veterans at an event in Gettysburg. That was phenomenal. You have a room of pre- and post-menopausal women who've all served, who all know how to shoot a gun, and it was fantastic, you know. And also very, very healing. I am a military sexual trauma survivor. I'm a post-traumatic stress survivor. And to be able to stand in front of my sisters and disclose some of my deepest hurts to a room full of women that I know would never judge me was such a healing experience. And I've had a lot of fun, you know, in being treated as a mini celebrity, if you will. And you know, it's fantastic. It really is. And being able to advocate, your main job is advocating for final salute, advocating for those women veterans who may sometimes be overlooked. That's the most important thing. So it's been a whirlwind. The next competition is October 13th here in Leesburg, Virginia. And now my successor, she will get her own crown. I just want to make that clear. I keep my crown.
Okay. You're not taking the crown away from Denise, girls, ladies.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yep, not going to do it. You know,
and
Carrie.
And it's for a reason because, you know, number two on, they're going to have a unique crown. So
they
want to make sure that, you know, Miss Veteran America Emeritus, which would be my title, that signifies the start of a new tradition. And as you know, the military is rich with tradition. So it's we do everything for a reason.
And again, then, folks, October 13th, this event benefits Final Salute. So that website is finalsaluteinc.org. Is that correct? It is org,
yes,
right? That's what
I
thought. Okay, so folks, do check it out. I'm going to type it in the chat room too. Finalsaluteinc.org. Please get on there and read about Miss Veteran America event. And if you can help, please do, or spread the word, because this does benefit Final Salute, who does help our female veterans from being homeless, being in that position. Now, I'm just going to ask you one more question, and then I know you're real tired from all the traveling you've done, but what made you apply last year, and what were your thoughts when you first heard about the competition?
Great question. Well, I was getting close to 40. Matter of fact, I just turned 40 last month. But last year, thank you. Last year, I was. I'm always on a quest of doing something. I'm currently a all but dissertation doctoral student, finishing my doctorate. But so I'm like, okay, I'm nearing the end of this huge milestone of taking on the marathon of education to be Dr. Gordon. But I wanted to do something else. And I am a jock by nature, so I was going to do either a biathlon or a triathlon. I wanted it to be something on a national level. Mm-hmm. And I knew of Final Salute just I had attended maybe one event for like a Mother's Day thing for women veterans, and that's always been near and dear to my heart. And I received an email, and I saw it said something about Miss Fed in America, and my initial reaction was not welcoming. And I'll tell you why, because being a woman in the military, sometimes you fight so hard for your service to be appreciated on the same level as our male counterparts. I don't know how many times I see commercials where all they're showing are the dad coming home, the husband's coming home, and, you know, you see very few commercials depicting the wife, the mother, the woman coming home in uniform. And you know, and there's a lot more to that, but I'll leave it at that. But so when I saw that, you know, my first reaction was, why would we want to, again, minimize our service by, you know, putting forth a pageant? So I didn't really like it, per se. And mm-hmm. I closed the email and then went to work. But something, I think it was God tapping me on my shoulder saying, open that email and read it. And I normally delete emails really quickly. But I went back in and I opened the email and I read the entire email this time. And I saw what it was about. And I said, holy cow, wow. Homeless female veterans? That's insane. And that, you know, it wasn't marketed as a pageant. It was marketed as a competition. And
right,
that it's open
right.
to all women that have served in the military. I said, wow, why not? You know, let me step outside my comfort zone. And, you know, I mean, it was something that I just felt drawn to do. And there were so many opportunities where I just felt God was saying, okay, you know what, I think you're on the right track here. So, and when I, you know, got to be top 10 and then top 3, and top 3, my, you know, you asked those questions on stage, and my question, I couldn't tell you what my question was to this day. all I know is my heart was, I'm sure everybody in the front 2, 3, 4 rows could see my heart, and I don't know what my answer was, but I just prayed for brevity and that it made sense. And you know, I love to dance. That's my talent. So when I won, it was like, wow, holy cow, this is never in a million years would I have thought that, one, I would be competing in a pageant, and then two, this is funny, again, remember I told you I was a jock, but when they put that crown and sash, I became this girly girl, like, oh, my gosh, here's my crown.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Yeah, so, but
that's
it's been,
so cool.
It's been phenomenal to be the voice of my women, my sisters in arms, you know, especially those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice. So
that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And I do have to say, I was telling carry this, and I want to make one announcement to the audience real quick. If any of you have a question or a comment, Carrie has stayed on the line, and Denise has stayed on the line. They're on the East Coast. It's late for them. But if you have any questions or comments, the number here is 424-243-9540. Again, 424-243-9540. And you can press 1, and we'll take a couple of questions. And I just wanted to say one more thing, do one more thing, and then we'll see if anybody calls in to raise their hand for a question or comment, and then I will I'll say goodnight and let you get some sleep. I know you've been really busy, and so has Carrie, and the time is ticking down. But, you know, I was telling Carrie how after that final salute interview that I did a couple weeks before the 4th of July, I bought the dog tag. And it's just been amazing. For those of you that don't know, if you go to that site, finalsaluteinc.org, look for the dog tag. It'll say Pave, I think, on the tab up towards the right, if I remember correctly. And it is the shape of a dog tag, and the Sportsky Crystal folks made it especially for Final Salute, and it's just gorgeous. And it's been really amazing, Denise, because I wear it and people will comment on it. And I think more than almost any other show I've done, I get the opportunity to talk about it publicly a lot, because people will notice my necklace and compliment me on it, and then I'll tell them. In fact, this is where last weekend I was at an estate sale, of all things. 5 bazillion people crammed into this house for an estate sale, and one of the ladies that was working there complimented my necklace, and I just stopped no matter what I'm doing and, you know, kind of briefly tell people what I do and then tell them the story behind Final Salute, Inc. And so not only for all of you ladies out there who can appreciate a gorgeous bauble, but even better, proceeds going to a wonderful cause, and to all you romantic men out there that I know are listening that might have a birthday, Christmas, or a just because I love you gift coming up, that would be something that I think your lady would really appreciate. And so I want to encourage you. That was a really cool idea, because it does give people the chance to talk, you know, to talk about Final Salute, Inc. And I really believe in all of you and what you're doing, and appreciate Jazz getting it started and the rest of you supporting the cause, and I just think it's a wonderful thing. I see we have a couple people with their hands up, but there's just one thing now that I'd like to do for Carrie, Denise, and all of our other veterans in-house and out there listening. And I'll tell you later, pardon me, if you have YouTube, just go to YouTube and type in Chris, C-H-R-I-S, last name Dukes, D-U-K-E-S, and then next word, Heroes, H-E-R-O-E-S, and you'll see a dynamite video. So I hope both, all of you veterans will go look up Chris Duke Heroes in YouTube, and you'll actually get to see what goes with this. But I'd like to dedicate this to all of our veterans listening tonight, and all of the women that will be competing in this competition. This is called Heroes.
Silence keeps the hold. It's been crazy here. tomato rolls. You're my brothers and my sisters standing up against the cold. My hero, and always know.
Again, that was Chris Dukes and Heroes, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your service.
Thank you.
Denise, Carrie. And it looks like we have one question up on the board. Area code 765, you're with me, Denise and Carrie. Who do we have?
You got Derek, Kim.
Hi, Derek. Thanks for calling in. Did you have a question or comment for the ladies?
I've got a comment. And first of all, I want to say thank you for this lovely program tonight. It's meant a lot to me, a lot of gratitude, I guess, for what they do and experience and everything. But I guess my main comment would be to Carrie. I want to say my heart is, I see all the experience that you've endured, all the things you went through, being a child and having a mother go through the different the tragedies, I guess I would call it, and struggles, and her and the hope and strength of her being strong and supporting. Kind of acting like everything's okay. I can feel that. I appreciate that a whole lot, and I just want to give you the hope and strength that everything's going to turn out okay. Everything, my prayers are going up, and I'm going to say some prayers tonight about that. And Denise, I was away from the radio, and I caught the very end of your conversation about mine just went blank, about women not being recognized so much in commercials, per se, in military commercials. You see a lot of men coming back from combat and talking about being the dads and all that, but you don't see much about women. I hope that will change, because there's a lot of women in our military, and they need to be recognized very much so on the radio, on the TV. That hurt a lot. Just thinking it's only a man thing. No, it's a woman thing too. It's not just men. It's both sides. I just called in to say thank you, Kim, for the radio show tonight, and I'm always going to listen to you. Okay, and I'm always going to be in your show no matter what. And
thanks,
thank you a
Derek.
Lot. Okay, thanks. Thank you, girls, for being in the military. And it's a great, great, great country we're in. We do have. My mind just went blank. But, yeah, the United States is great. We can, we aren't controlled, put it that way. I don't know how to say it. But, yeah, we're free. We can do what we want to do, even if it's right or if it's wrong, and hopefully do the right things and learn from, do the right things and be happy. We aren't controlled to a certain curfew hour or whatever. But, yeah, thank you so much for being in the military and sacrificing your own time or whatever, life or whatever, for our country's purpose. Thank you very much. And good night, Kim. Thank you.
Thanks, Derek. Thanks
you.
So much for calling in tonight.
Yeah, well, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was a great comment.
Well,
Kim, can I say something just really quickly?
Absolutely.
Is it okay?
I just want to say that, one, good luck to all of the there are 20 competitors this year, 20 finalists, and good luck to each and every one of them. It is going to be a life-changing title to whoever the winner is, and I'm looking forward to engaging with my future sister queen. That's one. Number two, today's the Air Force's birthday, so happy birthday to all the individuals who have served in the Air Force. Today's our birthday. We have a few hours left, but happy birthday. And then lastly, Miss Gladys, who is my second runner-up, she will be 90 on next week, Monday. So I want to send out a happy early birthday to Miss Gladys, our World War II Coast Guard spar, our darling, and we just adore her so much. So thank you for giving me this opportunity. And thank you so much, Kim. I really appreciate it, having me on your show. I appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate you coming, and I'll amend my program notes to add the fact that you came on the show tonight. I know it was quick for you, and you had a lot of engagements. It was doubtful that everything came upon this interview so quick. It's not usually how things work around here, but I do want to thank you and tell you a funny antidote. You know, I told you my husband's 20 years retired in the Air Force, and I met him afterward, about 2 or 3 years after. He was working for a contractor, and so I did not know today was the Air Force birthday, and he goes to bed early, so I'm going to leave him a note on his pillow, or maybe better in the bathroom, that he'll see first thing in the morning, and put a little kiss slip and thank him for his service, and happy Air Force. And then the funny anecdote part of that is that from the time I was a little girl, since my dad was a Marine, my dad was not a drinker, but he's Irish and he was a Marine, and there were two times a year he would come home lit, and one would be on St. Patrick's Day singing "Oh Danny Boy," and the other would be on the Marine Corps birthday singing the Marine Corps battle hymn. So I do know that birthday from being raised about that. My dad's not a singer, especially when he was a little bit lit, but two times a year, boy, Marine Corps birthday and St. Patrick's Day were just wild evenings around the home, you know, when he got home on those nights. But thank you for letting me know about the Air Force birthday, and for everyone out there, something important for every branch and all of our American listeners is that this is Constitution Week, the 17th to the 23rd, and so we are celebrating and recognizing the Constitution that generations have been fighting for. So I won't keep you guys any longer tonight. It's been wonderful to have you both as guests. Carrie, good luck. Denise, thank you so much for coming on short notice, and congratulations on your achievement so far, and you and Jazz both being great role models to help the others as they're coming along, you know, to really get that help so desperately needed for our female veterans, and thank you for coming on my show tonight.
Thank you very much.
I really appreciate it.
Okay, and Michelle, I unmuted you just to thank you once again for introducing me to Carrie. That was just, like I said, that was just divine inspiration. A week ago, I see Carol passes it to you pass it to me, and we get Denise, and it all pulled together exactly the way I think that God intended it. So I really appreciate you calling in tonight, and I'm sure Carrie does too.
Well, it was my pleasure. It was the best $2 I ever spent.
All right. Well, I'll let you East Coast girls get some sleep. And again, thank you so much for coming on. Good luck, Carrie. Good luck, all of the contestants. And again, I put finalsaluteinc.org in the chat room, and I'm letting you listeners know, please go to the site, check it out, follow the competition, buy your sweetie or yourself one of these beautiful necklaces, and pass the word. And good night, Denise, Carrie,
good night.
And Michelle.
Bye-bye. Good night. Thank you so much, Kim.
Good night.
You too. Good night.
Bye.
Okay, everybody, that was Carrie and Denise. I see my studio's going a little bit crazy here for just a second, but there we go. That looks better. That was Carrie Brantley, my original guest, and Denise Gordon, who is now the current reigning Miss Veteran America of 2012. And we will see October 13th, I guess, who the second one in line is going to be. And of course, we want to wish Carrie luck. And as I said before, I think while I am a true believer in Final Salute Inc. as an organization, and the competition that will benefit, any funds from that are going to benefit their mission statement of helping find female veterans' homes, getting them off the street. I encourage you to support that cause, but to be aware of it. So check out that website, and if you'd like to hear the interview with Jasmine, that was, like I say, I'm always on Wednesday nights, and it was a couple of Wednesdays right before the 4th of July. So, and the show is entitled Final Salute, so you can listen to that and actually hear the founder's story as well. So let me check on our time here. I probably have a couple of commercials to do for you, and then if there's anybody that would like to talk, looks like we've got about 15 minutes left in the scheduled time, and then I'll go ahead if people are wanting to and hang out for the hour of overtime and just have some casual chat and music, and that way I can sorry, something shiny. I lost my train of thought. At least I didn't mute my mute my mic and forget to unmute it during this program. But what an incredible group of ladies. If you do want to stay for overtime and you're out there listening and you'd like to talk about either our guest tonight or something that's on your mind in regard to your brain injury or caregiver situation, then please call in to 424-243-9540. The entire show is heard in the archive, but the live listeners who have not dialed in will get dropped off the board in 15 minutes, and you won't hear the rest of the show live. So 424-243-9540. And we want to thank our Brain Injury Radio Show sponsor, Gordon Johnson of TBILaw.com. If you have any litigation issues involved with your TBI, make sure to check out his site at tbilaw.com. I want to thank my Recovery Now sponsor, Lash Publishing, lapublishing.com. They only do brain injury related materials. Some are survivor stories. Many are recovery materials for people who have brain injuries, and they have an extensive section just for veterans. And again, I'm going to be really excited to meet my my sponsor, Marilyn Lash, October 4th when we have lunch, and she and the Nebraska Brain Injury Foundation, in conjunction with the Nebraska Veterans Brain Injury Task Force, doing this Hope Beyond the Battle for the families of
our troops coming home with PTSD and TBI. Some of the topics they're going to cover will be the compassion fatigue, information on PTSD, TBI, STS, just a lot of materials that are going to help people get a support network set up. And again, that is located in Omaha, Nebraska, October 4th through the 6th. It's $40 per person, which includes meals, the conference, materials, and lodging. So if you're interested in that event, you can go to biane.org, but I bet that's the national one. Well, it's probably on that too, or just Google Nebraska Brain Injury Association, and that will take you to their site. And they've got a couple of good sponsors for this, the Brain Injury Association, as well as Mutual of Omaha. I bet you guys didn't know, some of you didn't know, that we have the Wild Kingdom right here in Nebraska. So they're one of the sponsors of this event, and I think it's going to be a great event. I'll also be really excited to meet Marilyn and Marshall. Had a very good show on a couple weeks ago called Wounded Warrior, Wounded Home. That was co-written with Marshall Waddell and Dr. Kelly Orr. Dr. Kelly Orr's background was as a Marine, and he served in Vietnam. When he came back, he realized some of the fallout, shall we say, emotionally for the troops. He switched to the Air Force, where he was able to earn his PhD, and then had a 35-year career counseling families of veterans, primarily the spouses and children. The veterans were getting some help through the VA, but it seemed like a lot of the children and spouses were falling through the cracks, and so that was his career. Unfortunately, you know, couples make plans for retirement, and he and his wife were making some grand plans for all the things that they wanted to do in retirement after all these years. And Mrs. Orr had a brain aneurysm similar to mine. She didn't fare as well. It was in 2001. And now Dr. Orr, who was in a sense a caregiver for a 35-year career to the veteran families that would visit him, is now a frontline caretaker at home for his wife. And he's going to be joining us, I believe it's this coming Monday, in our new earlier platform, which will be 7 p.m. Pacific time. And it ought to be a great show. Support him if you can at his first show, and just know that it's challenging for all of us when we're doing our first shows. For some of us, even when we're doing our later shows, trying to juggle the chat room and the switchboard and focus on our guests. And so I'm very happy that Dr. Orr is coming to join us at Brain Injury Radio. I think he'll be a great asset. We've been wanting a show on caregiving. We've got a lot of shows about survivors, and now we're going to have a couple of shows for the caregivers that listen to our program as well, and we're very very proud and excited about that. It looks like I've got about 7 minutes left or so in the live portion, so I'm just going to do just a couple more short commercials, then I'm going to play a song out into the overtime. So again, if you want to hang out, I'll be unmuting the mics and we can talk at leisure and mix some music in between. So again, if you think you want to stay, call in to 424-243-9540. Again, all of these Brain Injury Radio shows, we're on 7 nights a week. All of the shows are almost immediately archived for on-demand listing. So if you hear a program that you like, or you came in late, or there's a topic you want to know something about, go into the archives at Brain Injury Radio. com, and I'm sure you'll find a program that will suit your needs. A lot of the people here know that it took me 17 years writing a book and becoming a radio host to meet my first brain injury survivors, and one of the reasons I'm here is that I don't ever want anybody to have to do that again, or at least I want to be able to give them a choice of being able to talk to other survivors and hear other survivors and know that they're not alone out there. And I think that's what we hope to achieve on Brain Injury Radio, as well as, and this is the last, probably not the last, but one of the websites I'm going to put on here, and that's if you look at the number 4, P as in Paul, EER11.org. And I'm going to go ahead for the people in the chat room and put that www in front of it. But the number 4, PEER11.org, that is ultimately going to be our peer-to-peer support line where one survivor can call in and talk to another in confidence. And sometimes it's about us listening and maybe sharing our experience, strength, and hope. And sometimes it's about referrals. People have needs, and we have a great list of places to refer people to depending on what their need is. I think we have 8 to 10 hours a day covered now, but we're aiming for 24 hours a day. So if you're into doing service or you're wanting to add another dimension of purpose to your life, I encourage you to check out that site, 4peer11.org, and sign up as a volunteer. We only need you for 4 hours a month. So if you can afford 4 hours a month to help out another survivor, please check out that website. Or if you need to call the number yourself, you'll get the information there. I've gotten the 90-second point, which is probably coming up to 60. So for all of the people here tonight that are going to be dropping off, thank you so much for coming to the show tonight and supporting Brain Injury Radio and Carrie and Denise and Michelle and all of our veterans out there. We want to thank you for your service. And thank you for supporting Brain Injury Radio. I will be back in just a few minutes in overtime for those of you that dialed in to 424-243-9540. We'll have some casual chat and some more music. And I think what I will do is, well, I'm down to about 50 seconds. So even though I dedicated the song in its entirety to Carrie earlier, I'm going to close in my usual way with my 51-second ending of Leah West and Guardian Angel. Good night to all of you that are leaving, and thanks for being here.
God replied, yes, it's your time to leave, but don't you worry, it won't be there alone. You see that someone who's been waiting for you, quietly hoping and praying everyone is home. With a guardian angel, on her wings she'll let you soar higher than
okay, and we are in overtime. I see in the chat room that Derek is multitasking, getting ready to work on some therapy at the intensive care unit. Okay, I couldn't read that. I'm sorry you were doing it. I got bad eyes and tired eyes, and I guess I need a bigger font from you, Derek. But good luck with that multitasking, and I hope everybody enjoyed the show tonight. I'm not sure what happened to Les Paul. We usually get to hear him talk, and I see that he's been in the chat room, but he must be otherwise
maybe he's multitasking too. Derek, is Les Paul doing some multitasking with you for ICU? No? Okay. And I do have some other callers on the board, so please feel free to call in, and we will talk about anything you want to, our guests tonight, or any announcements you might have about events going in, going on in your area. I know there's a lot of things going on this summer. Craig had TBI camps going on, and we've got this retreat coming. And to chase this retreat for the families of veterans, we're actually going to have not this same group, but the Brain Injury Association is bringing another retreat behind this one, I think in November, for the actual troops who have come home with PTSD and TBI, and they're going to have a platform of experts to help give them some new tools over the weekend. And I'm thinking, I told some of you that I had talked to Susan Connors, who's the president right now. I think Mr. Chambers is coming in behind her, the Brain Injury Association on a national level. And after a nice conversation with her, she's going to be adding Brain Injury Radio on their website. One of the things that a lot of the foundations, associations, and alliances have done, and I say this purely as a host observer because I didn't have the services of any of these things through my recovery, but as I've watched the last year that I've been a host, and this is what I was telling Susan, and all the thousands of calls I fielded, one of the biggest gaps has been in the area of peer-to-peer support. Of course, advocacy and awareness is something that we got to have. There's a very important function to that. They've done a good job for a lot of years, but right now, you know, a couple special interest groups, the veterans and the NFL, are kind of eclipsing some of these groups because they are being heard. They're being heard with that advocacy and awareness. And so it seemed to me a logical thing to do would be to add the element of peer-to-peer support across the country onto the websites of the alliances and the associations. And they don't have to sponsor us any more than we sponsor them, but we let each other know that the other exists. And then people have choices then. Just because we have a brain injury doesn't mean we don't have a brain. So we're given some choices if we want to get involved or if we need help. And I think it's great because once Susan gave it the nod on a national level to post us on their website, then I talked to Peggy, our new president, and she is putting it on the Nebraska site. So I challenge my other hosts and you listeners out there to contact your alliance or association in your state and ask them to put the link to Brain Injury Radio on their site. I can't think with a past in business like I had 25 years in business being a financial consultant, to me it just seems like, no pun intended, a no-brainer that you can add a whole department to your business with very minimal effort, having your webmaster post that link and have a new staff that you don't have to pay, a new service that you're not paying to offer, and something that will help the group that you're advocating for that we've been told all over the map, all over the world, is something that is really needed. So so do that for me. I'm going to tell you about the next couple weeks of shows real quick, and then I'm going to play a couple of songs unless I see some hands go up and want to talk about something else. But one thing I've got here is lots of paper. Sorry about that. That's one I didn't mute my mic on, right? Next week, I have a fascinating guest, and I tell you, it is going to take half of my show next week just to read this man's jacket. Next week is going to be Sergeant Major Pepe Ramirez. You're not going to believe it when I read to you all of the military experience and all of the service that this man has put in, but he's the president and CEO of Combat Vets Helping Combat Vets.com. And they're doing some things out there in Denver, is where he is, the Denver area anyway. They're doing some things that the military hasn't really given the nod to, things like things we've talked about on these shows, some alternative treatments like EMDR, EFT, the HBOT treatments. It was a very fascinating conversation I had with the Sergeant Major, so I'm looking forward to him next week. And again, like I say, you'll be blown away when you hear all of the things he's done. A most impressive guest. And the week after that, Dr. Diane Stoller is going to be my guest. And if you look up drdiane.com, you're going to see that she is a neuropsychologist, a board certified health psychologist, and sports psychologist. You haven't heard me talk a lot about sports on here. I've had a lot of civilians, I've had a lot of veterans, a lot of survivors, a lot of caregivers. Haven't had a lot of sport people on here. We've got, you know, I always kind of, and I don't want to offend the NFL, or maybe I do, I don't know. But I'm glad they're out there doing some speaking. But ever since the time I was a little girl, I wasn't a huge sports fan, but I liked baseball because I thought it looked like it had a point to it. I got it. And when I would watch football players playing, it reminded me, you know, part of my heritage is Italian, and there have been a lot of shows. You guys, most of you probably remember The Sopranos and some different shows that have been on TV. Some of the older ones, I'm trying to think. I think one of them was called Rome. It was a mini series on Showtime or HBO or one of those. But from the very first time I saw football, it reminded me of gladiators back in the Roman times, people sitting there watching other people clang heads. And I didn't know anything about brain injury then. I also didn't know anything about football then. I'm sure there is a point to it because they do call it like the American pastime. But as I understand it, more and more information and statistics are coming out that even with a helmet, you know, your brain, your skull is like a cage, and your brain is like a jelly organ inside of it, and there's some floating going on. And when you bang the brain up against the cage, your skull, whether you've got on a helmet or not, you can get some pretty serious brain injuries or cumulative brain injuries like the post-concussive syndrome you're hearing so much about. And that's one of the things that Dr. Stoller, Dr. Diane, is going to be talking about in 2 weeks. So those are a couple of the guests coming up in the next 2 weeks, and I'll bring the rest of the list. I'm really excited about the next month and a half, I guess. We've got some really great guests that are going to be on the show. And you know what's really cool for me on these? I know different hosts do their shows differently, and that's one of the beauties of Brain Injury Radio, is that there's a lot of personalities, and people come and bring a lot of different things to the table, and that's good. Not only is variety the spice of life, but people process at different speeds, at different rates, and in their own time. And there's people who have had their injuries 30 years ago, me 18 years ago. But there's people out there, you know, who have gotten their injury last year, the year before, 5 years ago, 7 years ago. And so we all pace through our recovery. And, you know, different things contribute to that, and that's how much support we have in the process, what tools are available for us in recovery, in the process. A lot of things go into how our process is going to move, and so there's a little something for everybody. If you listen to all the hosts, I think you're going to find, you know, probably more than one that is, you're going to recognize you when you hear them talk and when you hear their guests, and I think, you know, that that's a really great thing for all of us. So I don't have any hand up right now. I am talkative, so I'm sure I'll come up with something in a minute. But on the 23rd, which I think is this Friday, I lose track of time. I had a couple rough days in there, and I'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. But right now, I think what I'm going to do on the 23rd, and I think it's a Friday coming up, maybe this Friday, I'm going to get to go and see Dan Christian again. And I just love him. One of my indie musicians from here in Nebraska, the man who whistles, Nick Johnson, who has the song Billy the Kid that I play on here, introduced me to Dan Christian. And I don't know, you know, different songs resonate with different people different ways. Our founder, Craig Cecilia, is a musician. And not practicing now as much maybe as he used to be. He's so busy with his finger and so many pies, I don't know how he keeps up with himself. But in any case, I like a lot of his music, but there's two songs that hit me deep and really resonate with me. And I noticed that about other songs I hear. Like tonight, the guest who was supposed to, who originally was booked, John Cruise, John Cruise Blues, his song Palm of Your Hand is one of those songs for me, and I'll be looking forward to him coming in a few weeks back and talking to us. He just went through 38 radiation treatments, and he's found a natural method somebody turned him on to that he claims, and obviously he's had some bad days after that kind of treatment, but he found an alternative treatment that has virtually eliminated a lot of the bad side effects of that radiation and has energized him in a way that most people that have been through that kind of treatment are not energized. And he's going to share his experience with us in a few weeks. And so his song, Palm of Your Hand, is one of those. But this song here, I think all of us have been through this at one time in our life and sometimes multiply. And it's usually after a major occurrence in our life, whether it's our brain injury and we're just coming to find out that we're not going to be exactly who we were before. We're going to have to look back and not regret or shut the door on it, remember our past. But we can't keep one foot in the past and one foot in the future, or we don't have a leg to stand on today. So what I try to do in my life is live a day at a time. But I've been through a few of those crossroads in life. I'm no spring chicken. And at those turning points that have been painful. And one of the things that Craig says in one of his songs is, And I'll paraphrase wrong, but it's to the effect, can anybody hear me? And again, to that effect, when I wrote my article for the present edition of Brain Injury Journey at Lash Publishing, I named it that for about the same reason. And now I think that Dan Christian, and I'll type his information in here in the chat room and tell you about. Actually, I'll tell you right now, DanielChristianMusic.com, or if you're on Facebook right now, of course it's Facebook.com/Daniel with an E, DanielChristian Music.com. Again, I will type that into the chat room. But this is another one of those songs for me because I've been there, done it, and I relate. This is a song called Find My Voice.
Question never seems to change. Are you with them or are you with us? And if it's true, I am not ashamed. There shouldn't be much to discuss. But for every answer that draws you near, there is an answer that will make you run. And as long as identity remains unclear, the coward will give the easy one. We can be automatic, carefully diplomatic. I need courage to speak my choice. Now that it's been a while since my courtyard denial, I am still trying to find my voice. I am still trying to find my voice. My brother is waiting to believe. We all love him just the same. There are gifts we both receive under the same sun and rain. I can't speak out of stillness, but I'm waiting to fill this space with courage to make my choice. How can we preach salvation from our own isolation? I am trying to find my voice. I am just trying to find my voice. Maybe we all have a role to play. Maybe this is my inauguration day. Finally getting used to my own skin. I never knew I would come this far. When you get too good at fitting in, it's hard to tell who you really are. Now it's time to make my choice. Now it's time to find my voice. Now is the time to make my choice. Now is the time to find my voice. Now is the time to find my
Again, that was Daniel Christian with Find My Voice, and I'm not sure that there are any of us out there who haven't had a moment where we've been looking for that, and I'd like to thank
Craig Cecilia for helping me find my voice in this community by letting me be a host on Brain Injury Radio. I really appreciate that. And that's one place I didn't have a voice until I got here. And for that, I will forever be grateful. I see that we have a hand up in our 202, and I think she's one of our new regulars, I hope. Always glad to have her. Is this Miss Allie?
It certainly is. How are you, phenomenal Kim?
Oh, thank you. I'm doing good.
You're welcome.
It was a good interview tonight. We had
it
some...
It certainly was.
Oh, did you hear it?
I did. I was actually in the car, and I had someone in the car with me. I was coming from a commitment this evening and wasn't able to participate in the conversation, but I just wanted to let you know that I was listening. Great interview. You're a really skilled interviewer, and you really do have what it takes to create a very interesting conversation and show. So I'm just really grateful for you and your contribution to I was going to say Blog Talk Radio as well as TBI Survivors Network. So thank you very much. Your impact is duly noted.
Thank you very much. That's really nice because, you know, like a lot of us say on here, and I'll say it, I did 25 years being a financial consultant, and I had no background. In fact, 2 years ago, I didn't know I was going to write a book. I didn't know what internet radio was. And I didn't know what Skype was. And so it's very nice to hear you say that. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Just reflecting back to you that which you are and how you're showing up. So I often say, you know what? You're growing and it's showing, so give thanks, you know?
I do. Oh, I do every day, and I'm very grateful because I get some really wonderful guests. I've learned so much from not only people like you who, you know, are callers and become, you know, regular parts of our audience, but our other hosts and all the guests, because I knew nothing. You know, when I wrote my book, it was a memoir about my story because that was the only one I knew at the time.
Yeah.
And it was lucky that I didn't write it in 1995 when it happened and when I journaled it because, of course, there wasn't a computer on every desk and word didn't circulate, you know, the way that it does now. And then it was revealed to me that it was time when a number of things came together that pointed that direction. And you know, at that moment, I didn't want to because I wasn't getting what I wanted, but I got what I needed, and I wrote that book, and then all of a sudden there's computers all over, and I tell you how goofy I am, you know, unless you're famous, and I tell there's other authors I know out there, everybody has had a book or written a book or wants a book, going to do a book, you know, and a lot of that going on, and I always tell them, I say, you know, unless you're a celebrity or you're one of the 0.25% that's connected and has a lot of money, don't write a book thinking you're going to be on the New York Times bestseller list because it don't happen, you know. It's real rare happening that way. And, you know, you write for the message and then you have the faith, you know, in God and in your message, you know, that your hand is being guided as you're putting your story out and the people that need to hear it are going to. And that's just kind of my belief system. And it got that way after I found out I probably wasn't going to be a New York Times bestseller. But just kidding. But what was kind of funny is that we get this thing, and I'm really blessed I married the IT department because I don't know. I know how to do Brain Injury Radio, but I wasn't computer savvy, and my husband did my website for me, and you know, he helps me with different things, and I forgot what I was going to say.
You were talking about how things come together, all in divine time, you know, and you were just mentioning how, your perspective shifted once, you know, things started to unfold.
Right.
But, yeah, I think that's a powerful testimony. I think that's outstanding, and it's beautiful.
Oh, that was it. When I went to the Google Analytic report that came every month, it's like a zillion pages long, has statistics, bar graphs, every graph you can ever want to know about, and I didn't want to know about any. And I didn't check to see how much I was making because, you know, it wasn't going to be something like you run to Ed McMahon to get your lottery ticket or anything. And so what I did like, though, was the pretty picture because one of those pages every week or whenever we'd get them would be a picture like an empty globe outline. And the first week, you know, after my book came out, I'm in Nebraska. Nebraska was colored in, which meant somebody had hit my website. This doesn't necessarily reflect sales, but that somebody had hit my website in Nebraska. And a couple days later, Nebraska and Iowa, and then Nebraska and Missouri. And then I got such a rush off checking that every day. I wasn't even looking at the money. It was the colored picture. And in six months, every single state in the union and 32 countries had hit on my website. And I thought now, and I understood that not everybody who looked with somebody, of course, I don't know, maybe they were. I don't know if they were buying a book or they had just heard about it or what was going on. But what I do know is that a message was being carried, and it was being carried to the places it was supposed to go. And, you know, another thing I live by quite a lot is that the efforts are mine and the results are God. So it's really none of my business in a lot of ways,
right.
You know.
I
do what's put in front of me, and I'm really blessed now that I insisted on learning the hard way so many times, you know, falling down
right.
And getting my knee and ripping off the scab on the Band-Aid. You know, I learned so many times the hard way that now, you know, I have this awareness that I didn't have before after the brain injury, and I didn't like turn psychic or anything. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I think more intuitive after that.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that the way that I've equated it before is it's been like stepping stones being laid down systematically in front of me and people along the way holding a lantern on the path because they know at certain points I'm either going to fall off the path or want to turn around and run back to the beginning, you know, because I'm human. And it gets hard, you know, it's just hard sometimes, you know, but at each one of those times, there's been somebody there with the lantern that's kept me going forward and doing what I believe I'm supposed to be doing right now. And so your feedback means a lot to me as well as you being here. And it's been so great having you be a new personality in the crowd. You've got such a good sense of humor and so much wisdom. I feel like I know you.
I know, I do too, Kim. My God, I'm just listening to you, and I mean, I am so tickled pink. I have God bumps, you know, and it's just like some of your philosophies mirror my own, and I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, this is just beautiful. And there's such a resonant quality to that which you're sharing. And everything is relative. I don't know what other people are experiencing, but I can certainly say being a multiple traumatic brain injury survivor and someone who lives with post-concussion syndrome and has struggled with this for many years, I really, you know, I always say, you know, I don't know what anything is for. I'm not able to see around the corner, but God knows. And, you know, it's almost like I'm really engaged in a faith walk. I have no idea that the road ahead will support me, but I'm trusting that it will.
Right.
And I'm being obedient to spirit, and I'm allowing myself to be divinely led. And the thing about it is I see most clearly with my eyes closed, and by that, I mean my intuitive navigational system, if you will, is so acute. I really do navigate my world with a great deal of intuitive, I guess, leanings. So I
yeah.
I don't know, maybe in a point, yeah, articulation, because I don't really, I have had the experience to not necessarily have a track record to where I can rely on my brain because it's so quirky, but
yeah.
my intuition never leads me astray. It never does. And so I have, by default and by choosing, when I decide to embrace my wise mind, that's the one that's fail-proof.
Mm-hmm.
I can't always trust my brain because I don't know. It's one of those things where, well, it's, you know, it's all relative. I have no idea. I say that I have a very kaleidoscopic, my world.
Right.
My world feels very kaleidoscopic, and depending on how you shift it, you know, and how you turn your head or whatever, the thing that you're viewing shifts is really something. It's kind of weird, and my brain is tired, and I'm not expressing it the best way, but, yeah, it's
I get
really you. Something to speak about. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get you. There's just, you know, you can fight it or... Mm-hmm. You know, pretty soon you just go with it. So many things present, you know, and like I said earlier, I believe coincidences are God's way of working anonymously. And I think if nothing else, you know, when I wrote my book, it's just one after another, after another, after another. And one of the things I say somewhere, I don't know, on the back of the book or someplace, I wrote down that even the greatest skeptic, you know, would have to shake their head and go, okay, this is weird, you know, because there's,
right, there's
so,
something to this, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
there's so many of these mm-hmm. things stacked up that if they would have been an
mm-hmm.
inch to the right or the inch to the left, the whole story wouldn't have been what it was, you know, and
right.
So it's, yeah, it's cool to think about that. And I like what you said about wise mind, because one of the things, you know, earlier we were talking about, Carrie, my initial guest, and I were talking
mm-hmm.
about prayer, and I wanted her to come on and tell the story about her mom, and I believe in the power of prayer, and,
mm-hmm.
You know, invited the audience to send up a prayer for Terry, her mom, and for Carrie's family. And while
mm-hmm.
they're going through this, God, I named it Endless Journey, I think, the name of the show, and it's because it has seemed like it for their family, for something that was supposed to be a one-shot pony that is drug out for
mm-hmm.
so many years and kept repeating against the odds. And we were talking earlier, and she was telling me that, and I don't think she'd mind if I mention this, she went
mm-hmm.
to church on last Friday night, and it's a church
mm-hmm.
that she joined about a year ago, and she never, ever goes on Friday night, but they were having kind of a celebration for her. It was kind of a celebration of 1 year being a member, so she went to this Friday night service. And they were talking about the things that you've prayed for that you've given up. Because
mm-hmm.
you didn't think you were being answered or you didn't think you were
mm-hmm.
being heard. And the pastor was encouraging people to not quit before they hit the finish line, that the answer doesn't always come the way we expect, but that it does
mm-hmm.
come, and to go back to praying for that thing that you had given up on. Well, the thing she had faltered in her prayer on, because of
mm-hmm.
all these repeat episodes, was about her mom and the condition. And a couple
mm-hmm.
days later, she gets a call out of the blue, and I get a message out of the blue about her, and my guest is canceling at the last minute because of the death of a friend. I'm booked for about 2 months out, and
mm-hmm.
Happened to get this opening, and a friend of hers got a hold of me said she thought she'd be a great guest. At first we started talking and she hadn't had a TBI and we're talking a little bit more, and then we get into the family thing and it's dawning on me, you know, that yeah, this is what we're supposed to be talking about, and those were the prayers that she's supposed to keep doing, because the answer was a lot of us are going to join her. And I just think those things are incredible. They're miracles. They're a blessing.
Yeah.
And
I totally agree.
And what she was doing, you know, sometimes people talk about, I've got a guy coming up and I didn't bring, he's several weeks off, but you know, he talks about different alternative approaches he's used in recovery from his TBI, and yoga is one of them. And a lot of times you hear about prayer and meditation, or yoga and meditation. And when it comes to prayer and meditation, you know, I didn't really couldn't get my mind to stop and focus long enough on meditation. And so I was a little confused in the beginning about that concept. And I heard somebody say once that prayer is us talking to God and meditation is us listening to God.
Listening to God. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. So
I believe that.
That quiet place and the answers come. And one of the ways that I found to focus, and this is kind of silly, but you do whatever you do whatever it takes, you know, us survivors know that you do whatever it takes. But the thing that I did, and I learned it from a yoga teacher I had once, and I can't remember the Sanskrit name for it, but it's simply lighting a candle. And, you know, the candle has the blue at the bottom right above the wick before it turns into the flame. And that's to just stare at the blue while you're trying to make that effort to quiet your mind. And something really wild happens. You do it for a while, and all of a sudden the room you're in, I mean, when you first sit down and you start to meditate, you're very aware of your surroundings, you know, whether it's your living room or wherever it is, you're very aware of everything around you. And you start focusing on this blue part right at the top of the wick of the candle, and you're making an effort, you know, close your eyes and making an effort to try to empty your mind so you'll be able to get those answers. And the room blacks out. When you stare at that blue thing, the room blacks out, and it's almost like you're in a timeless space.
I know that feeling, beautiful.
Yeah, and it's pretty
beautiful.
Awesome. So I encourage anybody who's listening out there who's ever had a problem with, you know, the idea of meditation or how to do it, or my mind runs too fast, it's like a hamster on one of those wheels, you know, I encourage you to try using an outside stimulus like the candle or something else that you focus on. I used to do a lot of dancing when I was a kid. My mom was a baton and dance teacher. And, you know, when I was doing ballet, they would have us, you know, focus on a point. The only way you could do those circles without barfing or falling over.
Pirouette.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly. Is to point. You know, you find a point that you're going to focus on each time you go around. And it's funny, you know, now, obviously, but factually, you know, with the brain injury I have, I can't really, like, turn a lot of circles without, it doesn't work the same, you know, as it did when I was a kid. But if you can pick out one thing to focus on your environment, that will help you empty your mind if you just take deep breaths and focus on that one thing. And I think that's pretty cool. So so how was your day today?
It's been a long day, a very good and very productive day. And it's so interesting. You just mentioned the power of prayer and how miracles unfold when we exercise faith and belief, and the amplification that occurs when wherever two or more gather, you know, their God and spirit are in the midst. And I ended up spontaneously just offering not a friend, but a, I call it a associate, a friendly associate of mine. I had
I like that.
Yeah, thank you. I had several commitments this evening, and so I'm just getting in the house. And so, again, I'm on East Coast time, and I am exhausted, but I am feeling enlivened as well. Is that the word, imbibed, or I don't know. I'm going to look that up. It seems like the word is enlivened. I don't. I feel energized on some level. Even though I'm tired, I'm not sleepy, but I'm also very present to this fact that I'm feeling energized because as I am seeking to gain greater clarity with regard mm-hmm. to what it is I could embrace as this feels like my true north. This feels like a path that I am to take that will lead me to my purpose type of a thing. I'm all about being purpose-driven. And so the thing is, now that I have accepted the fact that there isn't going to be a, well, I'll recover my full self prior to my brain injury, but because I'm a multiple brain injury survivor, my mm-hmm. first being at 3 years old, I mean, what was that baseline? It's hard to even distill out. Who knows what that was? So my thing
right.
is I find myself crafting a new identity for myself, and I love the fact that you infuse songs from indie writers and indie artists in your program. And that was a really very powerful, very poignant song that you played. The lyrics were spot on, and I could totally relate as well. And I have kind of lost my train of thought, but I guess the point that I was making is that, oh, one of the little signs that I interpret as little indicators that I'm on the right path is feeling energized when there are no other ways to explain why I'm feeling so energized. I've had a very long day. I was up early, got very little rest, and I'm just getting in. But because of the nature of our conversation, I'm feeling very energized, and that's another sign that, you know what, there's something here that I need to explore further. And not just from the bleachers, you know, not just as taking this on as a spectator sport, but taking a leap of faith and having the courage to get in the ring and play full out whatever role
right.
that is to unfold. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea, but I know that there is something to this. And so I'm very appreciative of you for being a channel through which this revelation has become made manifest, because we need one another and we need persons to hold mirrors before us so that we can see that which we would not necessarily be able to see without those mirrors being held up before us. And so,
right.
Yeah, I just think it's really cool. And, I just, you know, I appreciate your body of experience and all that you share to enrich the conversation and certainly the textural quality of your radio show, and I really enjoy it, so thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Allie, and I'm
mm-hmm.
so happy that you called in tonight. I've really enjoyed hearing you and getting a chance to talk to you, and I was having a couple of off days, and
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
I wasn't getting my way, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't getting what I wanted. Things weren't going the way that I wanted them to, and so I kind of went into that isolation, quiet
mm-hmm.
mode. And, you know, and then today a couple things happened. Well, like talking to her, you know, talking to Carrie and talking to Deb and being blessed with being able to do the show, I feel the same way as you. And that got me thinking
mm-hmm.
about something I do often, which is write a gratitude list.
I love that, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I try to do it with a real pen and paper, but admittedly, sometimes it's in my head, you know, that I do it,
yeah.
but I'll
mm-hmm.
do a 10-point gratitude list and
mm-hmm.
remember that even though I might not be getting what I want right now, and I'm acting like a child, holding my breath till I turned blue, stomping my feet and just feeling unhappy in the world of peaks and valleys that I just have an awful lot to be grateful for. And every time I come here, it's a great reminder. So I appreciate you and everybody else that, like you said, it's about the we that we find the new me. And without the support of the others, we just wouldn't be able to do that. So we got a pretty good thing going right now.
I agree. Yeah, I do. I just love your inspirational sharings. And, you know, all of us are at different points in our journey. And I think we can certainly learn heaps from one another, because you have a way of being and moving in the world and expressing yourself as each of us do, and it's not exactly as I would express myself, and I'm like jotting down a few of the things that you shared, such as I believe coincidence is a God's way of working anonymously. I concur. I fully believe that, but I wouldn't have thought to phrase it that way. And I love quotes, and so for me, because my thoughts, if left to my own devices, because my life is so challenging on, I mean, a day-to-day basis, I mean, just throughout the day, there are just any number of examples I can point to that would leave me feeling like my life is just one challenge after another. I need those visual reminders to kind of reset my perspective, you know, to at least counterbalance it. And it really does make a difference. And so, you know, it's like planting seeds to override the fact that weeds are growing. And so if left unattended, the weeds will choke out the most beautiful of gardens. So, you know, I really do practice mindfulness around minding my mind space and just being a practitioner of mindfulness and reframing. And so, I'm going to jot this down, and because I have coincidences all the time. And I'm feeling like, gosh, I have to save this for another conversation because, and you know what? And I'm also learning to surrender to what is and being in the moment. The only moment is now. Forget about what I could, almost like hoarding not yet manifested opportunities. I mean, the reality is we're in the now moment. So I say that to say a part of me was thinking, wow, this is such a great conversation. I don't know how many people are listening. Maybe I should save this for another time. But the reality is the conversation is unfolding now. And so there is no saving something for later. There's only really showing up fully present in the now moment. And those who are here, you know, and for those with ears to hear, and for those who are supposed to hear, they're here. They're receiving the message, and they'll be able to tune in, because I forgot that there's this aspect where someone could go into the archives and listen on demand. Right.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's almost like a ripple, you know, effect. You don't know how far and wide that ripple will extend to. And so that's none of my business. What did you say? I meant to write that down because I believe that, and it's something that I say, but because I have a challenge forgetting to remember, I forget to say it, but it's something that I know and believe.
Well, it's because I say it so often. I mean, I have a couple different ones. I say the efforts are mine, the results are God's. And so most times, the outcome is really none of my business. My business is taking the action as I've been directed to do, and then having the faith that the outcome is correct. So the efforts are mine, the results are God, it's none of my business. And that's hard to swallow sometimes, because there was a time in my life I was a master controller, you know, and had at least the illusion that I had that ability. And, you know, nothing like a few, you know, brain injury situations to let you know that that's
sure,
only,
yeah.
only an illusion, you know, so that's one of them. And then the other one, because I, like you said, I am just really huge on taking a day at a time. You know, earlier in the show, I said if you have one leg in the past and one leg in the future, you don't have a leg to stand on today. And today is all we really have. So, you know, you keep both feet in today and you make it through a day at a time. But if you've got one leg in the past, one in the future, you got nothing to stand on today. So, anyway, I guess that was our lesson for the night. But I'm seeing that our clock is winding down. We've got about 10 minutes left. So what I want to tell people, I'm going to close out with a song, and I'm going to give anybody out there listening a chance that if you're on your computer and you want to go to YouTube, and I typed this in the chat box, you go to YouTube, and then you go to their search window, and you type in three words, Rescue, R-E-S-C-U-E, second word, Spark, S-P-A-R-K, third word, Out, O-U-T. And this fella, when I was looking for my indie musicians, Allie, I heard this guy, I got a hold of him, and when I went to his Facebook page, I said, oh gosh, there's something terribly wrong. It was all in Italian. And it turns out that Rescue is in, well, I speak not as much as he does because he's there.
Right.
I know a couple expletives, you know, and a couple romantic things, but not like this guy. And he's actually, Rescue is actually in Milan. And when you search it the way I told you, he has two videos on there. One is Spark Out, and it's excellent, but I'm going to play the other one as the outro, and it just shows that he has two. And I'm going to dedicate this one to you for tonight, much like I did for the girls earlier, but as our favorite newcomer. And I'll tell everybody else, good night. Thank you so much for being here at the show and supporting Brain Injury Radio and me. Love y'all. And this one is going to go out to Allie tonight, and it's by Rescue, called You're My Star.
Sometimes
good night, everybody.